I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Brady with short motion by Amendola takes the snap. Backs up. He pops right. He looks back toward White. Yeah. Into the end zone. Yeah. Diving for a touchdown. Patriots!
There you go. Time to take the hat off, Matty Ice. Put that helmet back on and go take a knee. Since your team likes to go for it on 4th and 7 to midfield. That's how you make them pay, folks.
No, Troy. No, this was the wrong clip to come back with.
What'd I do?
You didn't know, but this was the wrong clip. I'm about to kick my feet up and get some coffee. Jesse Holly in studio. It's a Cowboys Monday. We'll go star up, star down for Holly and what he saw. He got one right. Ooh. He got one of the predictions right with the beatdown over San Fran. But we were just talking. Oh my gosh. Let me just set it up.
We don't have to do it. No.
Let me just set up and get out of the way real quick. We were just talking about, you know, around the NFL, what stood out, what's jumped out, and it somehow got around to Tom Brady and quarterbacks and stuff like that with the Patriots' foggy win over the Falcons. And what was your point, Chop?
We were just talking about pedigree, right? And I was like, I'm a big pedigree guy.
Yes.
Because we were talking about the weapons that Carson Wentz has.
Yeah, we were previewing Monday Night Football, 337, the know-it-all troll that he is, texts and says, oh, Roy's always sitting there talking about Carson Wentz elevating people's games. Well, these people's games are coming from the first round.
Yeah, sure. Alshon Jeffrey was a first rounder. Nelson Aguilar was a first rounder. Zach Ertz was a second rounder. My point is that outside of Alshon Jeffrey, none of those—
And Aguilar.
No, I'm talking about Aguilar. Yeah. None of these guys were relevant midway through last season. Carson Wentz comes along, and all of a sudden, they become not just sustainable offensive players. Zach Ertz is a star. Nelson Aguilar has become a really good wide receiver. Sure, maybe they had that talent inside all along.
Torrey Smith.
But we see first-round talents that never produce anything, and for some reason, you can't deny that Carson Wentz has elevated that play.
So anyway, this got into pedigree, and I was like, you know, he does have, they are talented. Jesse's like, well, you're a big pedigree guy. And I'm like, I am. And it's the reason that Tom Brady can never be the greatest quarterback of all time because he was a 6th-round pick. He didn't have pedigree from high school and college. He had an 11-9 high school record. He got beat out by Drew Henson in college. He'll never be in the College Football Hall of Fame. How can you be the greatest of all time? Save for Joe Montana, he's out. You got to be the number one overall pick. You got to be first. You got to be first rounder. So Aikman, Marino, Elway, Manning, they can all be in the discussion.
So what happened to the first-round guys who had the pedigree who were busts, like the Jamarcus Russells?
They went to bad situations.
RJ, don't be too much of
that. All football is about the situation you go to. Everyone knows that. Systems make players.
Here's the crazy part about it.
I'm right.
Because No, that's not it. Because Chop, he sticks to his point so much so that he'll bury himself.
Like my point, my counterpoint to him.
So he goes, so Sean, to counter this asinine point that you're trying to make, Sean goes, well, Chop, that's like someone saying that you can't be a good host because you've only been in a major market for 4 years. And he goes, yeah, that's right.
I'm not a great host.
I said that you could never be great because you were kind of discovered later that you weren't, you know, a major market host for longer or in different cities, and you agree with me.
Yeah.
I freely admit, I'm here because of luck.
Listen, that is the ultimate sign of insanity. Like, you would bury yourself just to make your point. Like you would, what do they say?
I got put in a good situation.
You would cut off your nose to despite your face just to prove your point.
I got a big nose. I got plenty. It'll grow back.
That is crazy.
I admit it, man. I'm like the Tom Brady of Dallas radio. I got put in a great situation.
God.
I got put in a great situation with Sean. Sean's Bill Belichick. All right? He's the reason. I'm sitting here. I'm Tom. I'll take up all the rings, man. It's great. Wow, people praise me left and right. No,
you're
it ain't
not
me.
Tom.
It's Bill.
You're not Tom.
I am Tom.
You're not Tom.
I am Tom.
You don't have the skill set of Tom.
Are you a believer in Philadelphia?
Yeah, man.
System host.
System host. It's what you call Jay-Z, a system rapper.
He's a system rapper.
Stop it.
I'm a system host.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Hey, but you're learning, though. You're like me, because 3 or 4 years ago, we would have snapped.
Yes.
And now we just
laugh it off.
Yeah.
But back to Philadelphia. They're legit. Because here's one thing that you have to know about really good teams, right? One, really good teams can travel on the road and win games. Also, they have good defenses. And this Philadelphia team was carried for the last couple years solely by their defense. Their defensive front, arguably one of the best defensive front in all of football.
Yeah.
And now you have, I can't even say it with a straight face. Now you add Carson Wentz to the mix, who's elevated his game, and he's elevated the players around him. Like, he's made those guys. They wanted to ship Nelson Aguilar on the first thing smoking out of Philadelphia. He could not catch a cold. He dropped everything. And they were like, this dude is a bust. He's done. Let's get this bum. And you know how Philly is. Get this bum out of here.
Yeah.
ASAP. And now look at them. They're loving Nelson Aguilar. Ertz is playing well. Alshon Jeffery is playing well. Torrey Smith is playing well.
And they lost Sproles.
Yeah. And so Carson Wentz has definitely, he's taken that proverbial next step. And you're starting to see him. The comparison between him and Dak, you know, it's kind of different. Like,
I was just about to say that.
He's a better passer than Dak.
Yes.
Hands down. He's showing that he has a better arm. He has better accuracy. He has better distance. All around passer, he's better than Dak. And you're starting to see that. I'm not knocking Dak.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And so you're starting to see him take that next step in the quarterback progression of being a down of field thrower, an accurate thrower, a playmaker from the pocket. He has some athleticism. So I think this team as a whole is coming together pretty nicely.
I want us all to say this before the game tonight on The Fan. Who's the second best team in the NFC? Well, are you putting Dallas or Philly as the best? Let's get that out of the way first. I'm saying right now Philly.
I'm gonna.
Let me do this. Go 1, 2, 3 in the East. God, look at the pain on your face.
I'm gonna.
We had enough ride defense already this morning.
I'm gonna so begrudgingly say Philadelphia is the best, even though.
Okay.
I don't think there's a chance they win. I still think the Cowboys win the division.
Okay.
The Cowboys are just
Who's second?
Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll put Philly there for now. And then, like, Washington's a distant third.
Distant third. Okay.
Although, I love Kirk Cousins. I'm a huge Kirk Cousins fan. I'm not really necessarily sold on Jay Gruden, but I love Kirk. The thing about Carson Wentz, the Eagles will have the advantage at quarterback in pretty much every game they play for the next decade.
1, 2, 3
with the exception of, like, maybe 5 or 6 guys.
Philly, Washington, Dallas.
Why Washington over Dallas?
I think until Dallas shows me that they're more consistent at being good at what they're good at, I can't put them ahead. The win last night was great. They did what they're a good team is supposed to dominate a bad team. I think the Cowboys are head and shoulders above better than the San Fran, and they showed it last night. But that win last night doesn't show me whether the Cowboys are a good team or not. Next week shows me that.
I'm gonna go Philly, Dallas, the Redskins. I just don't trust the Redskins yet. See what happens tonight. Monday Night Football on The Fan. Your star up, star down for the Cowboys win over San Fran. Jesse Holly in studio for the rest of the show. Your star up, star down. Next.
They block it up beautifully. Fade right side of the end zone. Jason Witten over the shoulder. That's a goat catch. Touchdown, Jason Witten, the goat.
And with that touchdown, Brad, Jason Witten now goes by Michael Irvin, moves into third place on the Cowboys receiving touchdown list. Both were tied at 65. I think Michael's done. So Witten now goes to 66 touchdowns. What a catch.
That was part of the call yesterday, 40-10 Cowboy beatdown of the 49ers right here on 105.3 The Fan. Mickey Spagnola at 920. Is he hearing the same thing that has been talked about this morning on the show? Dan Bailey maybe out for a month or more. Jesse, have you checked in with Mama Bailey yet?
No, not yet. I let her get up and have a breakfast and morning coffee. No,
okay. I was already harassing her yesterday. Is it okay? Are you worried? What's going on? She's like, we'll find out more on Monday. But Brad Sham said he's hearing or thinking it could be a month or more. And then Jason Garrett said, yes, we're bringing in kickers. He told us that.
That's important. Like that's something that we should slightly worry about.
Yeah. Your highest scorer on the team.
And look at the way the NFL has been this year with kickers. Mm. Like, kickers can't make it from 30. And think about how confident we were from 50 in with Dan Bailey. We figured once we get in the 50-yard range, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty much good. And we like, it's like now we can extra point or field goal, We don't have to watch it with Dan Bailey out there. We go, all right, let's count it. Put it on the board. Across the league, you're like, I don't know, 33 yards. They may miss it.
Yeah.
And when you look at the slate of games coming up, like I don't, there's not going to be a 40-10 blowout game these next four games.
No.
It's going to be a game where you're going to need possibly a field goal or two to either win it or stay in it or to get the lead. Like you're going to need a solid field goal kicker. And while I've always given kickers a very, very hard time, it seems that kickers actually do matter.
There's a second rounder available.
Who?
Roberto Aguayo.
I'd rather have Young Ho.
Young Ho Kim?
Young Ho.
Young Ho Chu. Is it Young Ho Chu? Is it Young Ho? Yeah, the kicker from the
Young Ho Koo.
Koo. Young Ho Koo.
Okay. Yeah,
you have Cairo Santos, Mike Nugent, Dan Carpenter, Andrew Franks, Jason Myers, Young Ho Koo, and Aguayo.
Give me that Young Ho.
Where's he?
Drop!
Wow!
That's a drop. Where is he from?
He was the YouTube guy who did the front backflip kicks and was at San Diego.
Oh, okay. And then he cut him. Where do we stand on the Zeke burst topic?
It looked good. It looked good yesterday. He had shades of that a la that Pittsburgh game last year on that screenplay where he went to the house. They ran the same exact play yesterday, and he got loose. It looked like he had the burst. Maybe the legs were fresh coming off the bye week, but it looked like he had that burst of old that we've been kind of asking about and looking for all season long.
I agree. Doing it through the air, doing it on the ground. Did you think that they tried to set the tempo with the run yesterday early on?
I mean, the first series, the first run of the game was like 5 yards, and then they did two passes, and then three and out. But I think they got back to it. They started creasing it and gapping those guys, and really, the thing I think that they did do well is they found runs that they liked.
And they were easy. It wasn't like they were punishing runs. Like, they were 14 yards and just get to the sideline untouched.
Yeah, but, like, they found some runs that they can block well, that they run well, and I think they executed those all game long. Early in the game, late in the game, they found a couple runs. They weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. They found a couple runs that their team blocked well. See, that's the importance of the bye week, is that you go in and you find out what are we doing well, and let's continue to do that. And then what we're doing bad, let's either try to find a way to improve it if we like it and want to keep it, or let's trash it. And I think they went in and said, all right, we're going to be a running team. Let's find about the 4, 5, or 6 runs that we do very well with this lineup, with Cooper at guard, with Chaz, with Lyle at tackle, and let's use those runs. I think they did that a lot yesterday against the Niners.
Pro Football Focus says Jonathan Cooper, Tar Heel, did not allow a pressure, and the O-line did not allow a sack yesterday.
First-round pedigree right there.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. First rounder. That's why he's starting. That's why he got a job.
That's true.
Well,
first rounders always get jobs.
They always get jobs.
They always get tryouts. And if you're a first rounder, you always get a tryout.
Yeah. Aguayo, he'll get a tryout because he's a second rounder.
Man. Anyway, you pay attention to Cooper or Collins up front?
No, I was watching Cooper yesterday. I saw he had one play that he like pancaked the dude. They were running a play, and he came around and pancaked the dude. And when you don't hear offensive lineman's name, that's a good thing. You don't want to hear offensive linemen's name. You don't want to hear them about penalties. You don't want to hear them being blown by. You don't want to hear offensive linemen should go unheard of in a football game. That's when you know that they're playing well. When an offensive lineman goes unheard of and you constantly hear the running back breaking out or passes being thrown down the field, that's the mark of a good offensive lineman and a good offensive line.
I thought Dez had a good game too.
He had moments. I think he was 7 for 65. Like, we're still, like, he still hasn't, like, everything that he does is, you know.
7 for 63.
Yeah, he'll have 3 or 4 plays in a row, and then he'll disappear.
Does he have a problem with the low pass? Like, he dropped that one, got kind of caught up between his hands and his chest. Is there a problem with the low ball?
I don't know if he has a problem with the low ball. It's about concentration.
He'll drop some.
A lot.
Him and Demaryius.
A lot.
His thing, no, Dez's thing is, he's a jump ball guy. He's a put it up over my head so I can go up there and reach up and get it. Anything else like mid waist level to lower becomes a little bit more difficult because it's all about hands, position. Do I go body? Do I go hands? So to me, catching is always about concentration. If you concentrate on it, like good catchers are just really good concentrators on the ball.
You know who didn't have a catch yesterday?
Your boy.
T.
Will. Yeah.
Man. I didn't notice one for T. Will or Bryce.
Neither one of them had a catch.
Bryce had a ball thrown his way, a jump ball early on.
Three thrown his way, I think.
But yeah, I don't remember. You heard Ryan Switzer's name finally on the pass catch.
What did you like about the defense? Besides that they were playing a rookie starter.
They were active. The thing that here's what I do like about the defense. Them moving Tyrone Crawford inside and mixing that thing up a little bit and just using their athleticism. You're having David Irving, you're having Tank Lawrence, you're having Tyrone Crawford. When they're going to three down linemen, now what you have there is you can use those guys to do different types of stunts, and they have the foot quickness and the speed and the agility to move around and to get those other offensive linemen off kilter, get them rocking, get them leaning, going to one side or not, and then being able to use their speed and athleticism to get to the quarterback. I think that was key. Having Sean Lee back matters. Like, having Sean Lee matters.
Yeah.
He makes everyone better.
He might be their second most important player.
Outside the quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what Sean Lee does. Sean Lee allows everyone to do exactly what they're good at doing.
Yeah, he lets them do their job.
That's it. When you don't have a guy like Sean Lee, now you have guys who are having to do more than what they're actually capable of doing or actually capable of doing well. When you have Sean Lee, everyone is in place. Everyone is lined up. He makes the checks. He makes the calls. Everything runs much more smoothly. The operation is there. And there's a level of confidence that players have when you have your leader out there playing with you.
Jesse Holly in studio, Mr. Fourth and Long on Twitter, predicted the beatdown. It happened yesterday in San Francisco. You know, when we talk about Jeff Heath, it turned into a fun story. Was there another guy you can think of that you played with who had a skill that no one really knew about? Like someone who maybe it was a lineman who somehow had hands or it was a guy who could kick or a guy who could really throw. Like Dez can throw it like crazy. We see him in practice. I was just thinking about asking you that with what Jeff Heath showed yesterday.
Oh, show.
Patrick Creighton.
Could.
Play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like really? Dez can throw it far. Like Patrick could really throw it like accuracy. Like Patrick would come to the line of scrimmage and be able to call out who's the Mike linebacker. Like
really?
Yeah. Like he was that. And remember, he played quarterback in college a little bit too. So he was one of those guys who could really throw the ball. I believe that he and Dez had a competition one day in practice on who could throw the ball up into the stadium rafters. So we were at Cowboy Stadium for a practice, and he outthrew Dez throwing it upwards into the stadium, like the second level he threw it up there. Like Patrick could play quarterback if he didn't play wide receiver.
How would you grade Dak so far this year?
Average.
C.
C plus.
Okay.
I
hater.
Think, no, not being a hater. Here's the thing with Dak is that when you look at what they've done so far, is he hasn't wowed you with a lot of stuff. He's still an inconsistent pocket passer. We've seen a lot more this year of his inaccuracies, the ball floating, being behind, being low. But what we've also seen, we've seen the progression of him being able to take more control of the offense. We've seen his athleticism, right?
Far better thrown on the run. Far better
throw on the run. Yeah. Absolutely. We've seen that athleticism. How many times have we seen him be in a pocket and looks like a sack? He spins out of it, makes a play downfield on the run. So we've seen a little bit of both. We've seen the good and the bad of Dak, but we go back to pedigree, and the mark of a good quarterback is at some point in time, a quarterback is going to have to make the plays to win a football game for you, and they're going to have to continue to make the pass catchers on that team better than what they actually are.
Can he throw a guy open?
He threw Jason Witten open yesterday. Dime. That might have been the best throw I've ever seen him throw.
Yeah, that was a terrific throw.
Like, that was a dime. Like, think about that. Like, that throw is a half a yard further, he's out of bounds. A half a yard shorter, it's maybe deflected. Like, that was a play when you say, woof. And he shows you these flashes every now and again. They're just not consistent. Because then he'll throw one in the dirt. He'll throw one low when a guy's wide open. So he'll show you flashes of, man, he had a really good touch on that and drove the ball in there. And then you go, where the heck was he throwing that ball at? So, I mean, he's C+.
Where are you at on him? Yesterday, it didn't seem like the stat line looked a lot better than like I remember him playing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like three touchdowns again, really impressive. I'm either getting used to him being really good or it's like a little bit misleading. I thought he played a good game, but I wasn't like, whoa, that was like three touchdowns. Like Dak went crazy.
You think about
because like, the 72-yarder,
exactly,
a little misleading. Right.
The 72-yarder and the Jason Witten dime, yeah. that's 100 yards right there. So if you take those two plays right there, that's 100 yards in two plays.
But he's been playing. I would give him what did I say last week? I think
you
I'd
said
go
B, B. Plus.
I think like B. Yeah. Like, you know, good. Good.
Yeah, I say good. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not elite. So what do you call that? Is that average? Good?
Yeah, being good.
Is it elite? I think it's elite, great, good, average.
All right, he's in between good and average.
Okay.
Oh, man, he's in between good and great. You're just crazy.
That's fair. 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fantex. How many tweets did you get about the play yesterday? A lot of people send you?
What play?
Your play.
Your play.
Oh, leading up to the – I'm like, what play? Like, leading up to the game. A ton, all week long. A ton.
Okay.
And I don't. You know what? Not speaking because I had a big play in that game. I think that game in general doesn't get talked about enough as far as being a great game. Like, when you're talking about the 49ers Cowboy history, take my play out of it. Like, that was a darn good game. Like, Miles Austin had, like, 150 yards and three touchdowns. John Kitna came into that game and threw, I think, one or two touchdowns.
It was punctured lung game, right?
That was a good game against a darn good Niners. I'm not mistaken. That team either went deep into the playoffs or went to the Super Bowl that year.
That was like they rattled off a ton of wins in a row. That was like their only loss.
That was a good team. Maybe because the rivalry isn't what it once was anymore, but that and maybe just hasn't aged well enough. But that game just isn't talked about as being one of the great 49er Cowboy rivalry games. My play excluded from it. I mean, it was a great play. Don't get me wrong.
It was
fantastic play.
Good route, too. Yeah, solid hands.
Solid.
The first three quarters of it were great.
Yeah. Don't do that.
27-24.
Last minute was awesome.
That was John Kitna came in that game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He came in. I think he had a touchdown and a pick, but he had like 100 and something yards in the short time that he was in
there. The Witten spleen game, too?
No.
Different year?
Different year.
That was the opener, right? When he was played against the Giants, I think. 9 for 143 for Miles. Jesse Holly. 3 for 96.
Come on.
Long of 77.
Come on.
3 on 3 targets.
Let's go, baby.
Dez would kill for that ratio.
Listen, the two biggest catches, the biggest catches weren't even the 77-yarder. Go back and watch the two catches before the 77-yarder were key third down catches. Tony almost threw one slant into the dirt. I went down there. Same play, Dez dropped it. I went down and picked one off the ground, like literally off the top of my shoe for a third down conversion. Another play, same thing, to get a first down and keep the drive alive. And then without those two plays, we never get to the 77-yarder. And we never discover Dan Bailey. Remember,
right.
He missed a kick early in that game.
Yeah, 19 yards.
Ooh.
And then after that game, I gave him redemption at the end of the game to win it. He went on and made like a record, like 29 straight.
If he didn't make that one that you gave him, he would have.
He'd have been cut. Yeah. They would have cut him.
He'd be bringing us gummy bears like his mom does every pregame.
That's all Sean, Mama Bear. That's all Sean.
Wow. Yeah. Throw them under the bus. She knows I checked with her first. Maybe I was trying to get the breaking news or check on her son. I love her. And Mr. Bailey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.